Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, joining me here on the last day of June, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. Jim Burns.
Hey, it's great to be with you both today.
You know, when New Life was just an idea, it became a five-page business plan that I had to present to some people before they would give me money to start it. And there was a reason I chose New Life, because if we weren't going to do that, if we couldn't provide that, I didn't want minimum change ministry. I didn't want new insight ministry. No, New Life. And so we said it's all about transformation, and that's why we started psychiatric units all over this country, 32 of them, because we wanted to deal with the tough things and that person to be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth from God's Word, and then redemptive relationship. That's what we started. That was the concept. We pulled it off, and we're still doing it 35 years later. And if you're looking around saying, you know, there's not much new about my life except a new level of misery or depression, you call us and let us have a shot at some direction, some trajectory change, and maybe even complete transformation. That's what we're going for. Now, I'm going to go right to the phones, and I'm going to talk with Lucy from Honolulu, Hawaii. Lucy, welcome to New Life. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for your ministry. I so appreciate New Life.
Thank you.
I'm calling today for a wonderful friend who lives in the Northwest area, isolated, small town, no close neighbors, really, and she has Parkinson's and has stage 4 cancer.
Hmm.
She has a daughter hours away who's, you know, close to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I have tried, she's a new Christian, and I have tried for the last year or so to help her in any way I could and encourage her. And I asked her recently, she said, I don't need things, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
She is on welfare. And anyway, I said, What do you need? And she said, you know, what I really need is I need a daily friend. I need someone in my life who I can fellowship with or talk to. And, you know, at that time earlier, too, COVID was happening stronger.
Yeah.
And she mentioned maybe last Easter that should she go to church, or was thinking about. And I said, you know, knowing how sick she is, she can't really go out to lunch with a person.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Does
she have a computer or an iPad or smartphone or anything like that?
She does not have a computer.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Her daughter does. She does
yeah.
not.
So she's pretty locked in there. And she's on welfare.
She's very lonely.
Yeah.
You know, as time
okay.
goes on.
Well, I'll give you some ideas here when we come back. And I'm glad you called, and I hope we can help you help her. It's wonderful that you care about her. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back with more of New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. You can watch this on YouTube. I mean, Sherry looks pretty good. Jim and I, it's not much looking at, but you could see what we're doing here on YouTube and at the New Life Live YouTube channel. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Now we're talking with Lucy, and she's really concerned about her friend who has Parkinson's and cancer and lives alone and needs a friend. So, Lucy, I'm going to throw out an idea for you here. I don't know if you can do this, and if you can't, maybe your daughter could figure out a way. But it'd be so great if you could finance an internet connection of some kind and provide her with some kind of iPad or smartphone or something where you guys could see each other, a virtual friendship. And that if you could do that, now if you can do that, ask your daughter. If you can get this for her, I will commit this much time to being a friend to her every day, and we'll be able to see each other face to face on this device. So that to me, you know, a phone where you it has video, you know, like an iPhone or something that
is video. I don't have one either, but I would have to get one.
But there are other ways to do this rather than a phone service. You know, just internet and two iPads or whatever the version is made by other manufacturers where you can see each other. That breaks so much isolation for her to be able to see somebody face to face, not just hear the voice. And again, if you can do it, boy, what a gift. If you can't do that, maybe her daughter could. And I would put a call or two into the daughter, trying to inspire her to help her mom find different ways to not be isolated. This is one. Let's see what Sherry and Jim are thinking about you and her and you being a person that really cares.
Steve, I agree with you that something, Lucy, that you could do, you could give her a great gift of communication. And I realize you both now have to kind of think through the iPad thing.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I have a friend who at 7 o'clock every morning, they happen to live in the same area. You two are 3 hours apart or 2 hours apart, depending on the time of year. But, you know, at 7 o'clock, they talk on the phone and they pray together. And they spend about 5 minutes. And they sometimes it goes longer. But that commitment is an incredible commitment. And this person that my friend deals with is also in a tough physical situation. The other thing I would also add is, you know, in the Northwest, there are thousands of churches, and somewhere around that fine woman, there are some churches, and oftentimes a church will come alongside.
There is a church. Near
her. And they'll kind of adopt into that. And again, I realize the concerns about COVID and whatnot, but at the same time, with her issues, there are still people who could come by and see her. And there's even, I mean, that just happens. And so you might want to have her daughter.
Like through the church.
Yeah, through the church. So churches, churches will do that. And so her daughter could have a conversation, or you could have a conversation with someone at the church in kind of their care ministry. And that care ministry, that's why they do that. And there's some beautiful people. A lot of times retired people who will be similar in age who would come along. And those are the practical ways of being kind of the hands and the mouthpiece of Jesus to her. And right, she needs people, and she needs people around her to love her. But the beauty today is you can do that, you know, even via internet. And I noticed
online
that exactly. I noticed you were in Honolulu, and what you probably don't know is Steve has one of the greatest ukulele collections around, and so maybe you could get him to play the ukulele sometime on New Life. Is that right? Could you do that for us?
No, you get her on the phone. Get her a phone. Get her on the phone, and I'll Zoom with her.
She loves to speak with Steve every day.
Well, Steve, you can, 7 o'clock. We want you to play the ukulele for her.
Now, there's a reason I'm not a full-time counselor. Is that God does not want to inflict me on a daily basis on or weekly with anybody. So, but I'll tell you what, if we can get her on the phone, I'll play the ukulele for her, that's for sure.
I love that.
Anyway.
Hey, I got to show you this, Lucy.
Sherry, what do you think?
Lucy, you got to check this out. Okay, this is my phone. This is my mom, who's 86 years old. I don't know if you all can see it, but it's a self-portrait. My mom is 86, got a phone that you can see pictures of, and it's this little app. I don't even know how she did it. She's 86, but she drew a little picture, and she sent it to me, texted, how do you like this picture of your mom, right? And it's a silly little drawing, but that right there is just a touch point.
Like, well, I love the cartoon.
Yeah, that Jim was talking about and Steve was talking about. And I love how practical it is here at New Life. I know that your call today, Lucy, I bet you just this phone call gave hundreds of other people ideas for how they can connect with those that are shut in or have gone through cancer or who don't have a face-to-face connection. But so thank you. And I want to give you the Purple Heart for being a friend.
Yeah.
Like, you are an amazing friend.
She really was a lifeline for me in high school. She lived here for almost a year, and she touched a lot of people. They made her, they gave her a crown and a sash and a lei and drove her around in a convertible to, I think they made up Miss Waikiki or something, you know.
My
they
goodness.
Made something up just because she had touched so many
that
people's
is wonderful.
Lives.
And oh, my
she's
goodness.
A great person.
Wow. Okay.
I love that. And look at how you're just loving back on her right now. That is so important. I mean, people don't think that Miss Waikiki would ever be alone at this point in their lives, but they are.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so.
No.
And one
they,
other
you
one
don't
other little
even imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
One other little suggestion is give her phone number to somebody that you love and ask them to call her and just ask her, how you doing? My friend Lucy thought I would love getting to talk with you. And that can be such a surprise.
I do know an incredible Christian woman who could do that.
Yeah. And then also, notes in the mail mean so much to people that are isolated. I'm glad you called. And
we do send notes
good.
And often. I send flowers. And
you're so great.
Tropical
great.
Flowers. And
will you
that's
be my
wonder.
Friend? Everybody needs a Lucy. Everybody needs
love
a Lucy.
You guys.
Well, I want to get
I
her
love
address.
You guys.
We'll drop her a note ourselves and send her a Restoration Bible, send you one also. And I'm so glad you persevered
you.
With
she
us.
She loves books.
And you're a great example of God's love.
And I've struggled as well, so we've been both good for each other.
That's great.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I'm so glad you listened to us, and we'll keep in touch with you. 1-800-229-3000 is the number here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you're ready for something different. Something good to happen in your life. All right, let's. How about we go to Chris from Phoenix, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131 at 1 p.m., and that's Eastern Time. Hi there, how are you, Chris?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what's going on?
So I am struggling with my 17-year-old daughter, who's just a delight. I mean, she's our fourth child. She's a delight. She's always been easygoing. But we moved to Phoenix about 6 months ago, and we moved her away from her friends and her boyfriend. And since then, she's pretty much decided that once she turns 18, she's moving back to where he lives. And she's going to get married early, and she's going to do all these things. And so she's pretty much given up any living here today, I guess, is the best way for me to say that.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling at a loss of how to encourage her and how to parent her. And I just don't even know what to say or do at this point.
Okay, I've got a couple ideas, but I want Sherry and Jim to weigh in on this. What are you thinking? Senior year, I guess. This was right before her senior year or during?
Well, no, she's in a unique situation where she's homeschooled. She's been homeschooled, and so all of her friends were, you know, in her homeschool, and she actually graduated, just graduated because she was able to graduate early. Mm-hmm. And now I'm frustrated that we even let her do that, because I just feel like it's given her too much well, too much freedom in that sense.
Maybe not.
But
why did you move? I'm just curious why you moved.
Because our my husband took a new job, but it also moved us close to our other, our two grown children and our family.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So that means, so, you know, she sacrificed.
Doing all that, Yeah, and I have a lot of mommy guilt because of it, and I know that it was, we felt very much like it was the right timing, what we needed to do for the bigger picture of the family, but I, it's really hard.
Well, let's see if we can get rid of some of that mommy guilt. Jim, any thoughts here,
you
Sherry?
You know, I don't want to add any mommy guilt, but the truth is that obviously that this is a tough time for her. My background is youth ministry, and anytime someone moved into our area when I was a youth pastor and they were 17, they weren't usually thrilled about moving to the area. And especially when there's a boyfriend involved. A couple of things. One is your approach to this boyfriend. I mean, it's puppy love probably at 17, but puppy love is real to puppies. So you have to take that serious, big time serious, especially if she's thinking about moving back. And I would say sometimes when kids move, one of the best things that happens is when they find new friends. She's probably feeling quite isolated, especially because she's not, you know, she's not going to school or she's not around people. And so that's where you want to jump into a church, jump into a church youth group, do everything you can without pushing her, but giving her opportunities to meet some friends, because it's amazing how at 17, if all of us, even one girlfriend who's, you know, face to face and they can go out and get yogurt or go to the movies or, you know, play around. It's amazing how that'll change. But if she feels isolated, then her move is going to be at 18. She's going to go. So, you know, help her find those friends without kind of just preaching to her, but find, you know, find a place, find a good church. There's great churches in Phoenix and there's great youth ministries. You know, find a place that she might just go, wow, this is great and these people are great, because, you know, there's negative peer pressure, but there's also positive peer influence, and you want the 17-year-old to be around a lot of positive peer influence, who's people who are having fun, like-minded, as fast as you can.
All right, Sherry, your thoughts.
Yeah. Did she have good girlfriends in her homeschool program or outside of that?
She's got one or two.
Okay.
But I think that's part of the problem is that, you know, unfortunately, everybody keeps saying, oh, well, you know, he's away from her, so that'll make it easier. But because they've got their phones, you know, it's almost more difficult because she isolates herself with him more than anything else.
So
that's the part that's struggling.
Yeah, sometimes when there's parent guilt, you know, there's a way out of it. It's called restitution. Restitution might look like flying those girlfriends out one at a time.
Right.
And having them, spending the money.
Yeah,
so
we actually have done that.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we also did that with the boyfriend one time and not going to do that again.
Well, but this is the deal. This is the deal. She has no future. Like, what kind of talk in the homeschool program was there around, what do you want to do? Like, helping to get her prepared for life, for colleges, like, all that stuff. If she has no future outside of this boyfriend, he's going to be the center of the bullseye. And that's where she keeps shooting her arrows. But if there can be a reawakening of conversations about what she wants to be. Does she want to be a nurse? I mean, she may just want to be a mommy is a great job. I have many of my friends are domestic engineers and have incredible job at parenting. But I'm talking, did she have any formal job? Did she want any, you know, what did she want to do? Conversations around that, traveling to some schools to help her get a feel for what that might look like, to put a dream back in her heart.
Okay, so we got to go to a break. You hear the music. I haven't upset people enough recently, and so I'm going to suggest something that might be upsetting to you and others, but I've got to throw it out there, and I think it needs to be considered in situations like this, and we'll do that right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live, Intimate Deception is the book that Dr. Sherry Keffer has written. It's changed many people's lives. Jim Burns' new book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Both of those at newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking about one of these very, very tough situations where a 17-year-old moves. So, Chris, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, let me start mildly here. Now, she doesn't have school restrictions. I'm wondering, what are the chances of you and her doing some extended stays back where you used to live? You know, 10-day here, 10-day there. Is that any kind of possibility?
I guess anything's possible.
No is okay. I mean, I'm just saying that perhaps if you took her back for 10 days and your job wasn't, you wanted her to have all access to the boyfriend, but you were really trying to develop some relationships with people that she knew and that could be deeper, that is something to be considered. And so it's different than just she needs to stay away from there, move on, and get on with her life. The second thing is, and this is a long shot, but it needs to be considered. Is there any family that she could live with back there that you think would get her involved in great things, great church things, and understand your values and understand that all access to the boyfriend isn't the goal here? Is there any situation like that that might be possible?
No. Part of the problem with, or part of the reason we moved away from there was we had just moved there for a job situation and no family, no close connections in that area.
Yeah, okay.
So she's the only one who actually has that connection from that. And the reason that I'm struggling with this is because she did have dreams and goals and now all of that seems to have dissipated
do you know that that's a reaction to loss?
Yeah,
it's a trauma to move at 17. Okay. It's traumatic for her.
So in all the things that we've talked about, have you found a great counselor for her to be talking with and working through the anger, disappointment, separation, the grief? Is there anybody that you've found for her?
We have sent her, actually by her request, and then I actually spoke with her a few weeks ago, and I said, hey, you know, you haven't been going back, and she's almost at the point where she hasn't said, I don't want to go back, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to make an appointment for you, and she's like, no, you know, I'll make an appointment. She's trying to avoid doing it, and I don't know why that is.
Well, she might be trying to avoid attaching to anything there if her heart wants to go home. And so I love Steve's idea of going out there. Why don't you, if you just went trying it one time, 10 days, I'm going to go, since you're thinking this is what you want to do, you want to live out there when you're 18, let's just start getting you out there. Let's start figuring out where you would want to live, what you would want to do, where you'd want to go to school, where you'd want to work. What harm is there going to be in just driving, being, letting her see it, experience it? Right? It's not like going and spending 10 days at his house. It's really letting her detach or attach because it wasn't her choice. So she's digging in her heels.
And any kind of mom guilt that you have, I think you make amends over what's happened here by not being locked in to not being inconvenienced by her feelings. My fear is the way she's adjusted to this or not adjusted, and you probably wouldn't have known until she did it. You never know. Some kids, they just pick up, okay, fine, I didn't, you know, like those people all that much anyway. But since it's turned into this, my fear is if you don't do some radical things and inconvenient things now, you may lose her forever. And so I'm saying do some creative things, inconvenient things, where she sees you're not the enemy. There was a reality here. You needed to move. You realize how painful that is for her. You hear her pain. You reflect it back to her, and there's no, you need to get over this mentality. I'm telling you, a kid at 17 hearing you need to get on with your life stuff, that is horrible for them.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, at the same time, you know, 17 is a great age because you're in transition. You're moving from very quickly from adolescence to adulthood, you know. Today we define adulthood at 18. We don't always act like adults, of course. And so to put vision in her life, to go on that trip that you're going to take, you know, wherever, to go to a college or two and let her see what a college looks like, to consider other options, you know, pray that God puts that vision back in her heart, because when you're 17, you can believe today and not believe tomorrow, and you can love somebody today like crazy and not like that person tomorrow, because that's how 17-year-olds work. But at the same time, they can have develop a vision for their emerging adulthood that is life transforming.
Yeah, and seeing the dorms and the friends that she would have, and there's going to be boys and gals there. It's just a whole new world.
Just every day think of what's another option for us. And a mother-daughter weekend, not back there, not at a college, just go horseback riding or whatever, a mother-daughter weekend or a mother-daughter vacation, that's putting good things in, not trying to avoid the bad things. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. When I say we've added another person to the we. It's Dr. Larry Sonnenberg here. Larry, how you doing?
Doing good.
Doctor of Joy, right there.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thank you for having me in. I love sharing testimonies because it helps you folks understand why we want you to make happen what makes happen at New Life. Without you giving the support, we don't get to do what we do, is set people up, challenge people, help them take first steps, and then we watch God's Holy Spirit do an amazing work. And we love doing this. We see God's hand in it. So this is just a note that just came in today. It's a short little brief little note. She said, guys, I tithe, and you do deserve my attention. My daughter is now in recovery because of the Life Recovery Bible you gave me.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Unfortunately, I am a widow now, and my bank... my bank book is a disaster. I'm praying this makes it to you. She sent cash.
Aw, precious woman.
God bless you all. But you know, that Life Recovery Bible, Steve, what a mainstay. Mm-hmm. What a fabulous and unbelievably effective movement in the whole spiritual world of recovery. And just, you know, some reason or another, we don't know why, we sent her a Life Recovery Bible. If she was on radio or attended an event or just asked for one, She got it, and she gave it to her daughter. Her daughter's in recovery, and life is different in that household.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's, and here she's giving back with a widow's mite. I mean, for her to just put some cash in an envelope, how precious that is.
So, folks, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you ahead, Larry.
I say, if you can believe in transformational ministry, knowing that God's hand is on this, we see amazing, well, I would say miracles. Some are in a weekend, some are slow miracles that take weeks and months or longer. But God's doing in the miracle working business, and we want to be there right beside Him for a long time. Mm-hmm. And your help will be matched. You make a gift, it will be doubled. $500 is $1,000, $5 is $10. Whatever you can give, we will match. We've got $300,000 to go.
You know, Larry, I think a lot of people wonder what we do and what we stand for, and they think, well, you know, this other ministry does deliverance, or this other ministry is really into spiritual warfare, and that's what I want to be a part of. Well, I talk to people all the time that went to, I know people that have been delivered from things. I also know people that won a victory in spiritual warfare, but not everybody. And so when it doesn't work out the way you wanted or expected, are you still looking for God to move in your life or the life that somebody is hurting? You need to consider there are a lot of Christians around here who have some different kinds of tools that might be exactly what you or that person needs. I was just on the phone with somebody talking about all the things that they did for this person. Took them to a deliverance ministry. Took them to a spiritual warfare experience. And every time nothing worked, it just added shame to the person. And now she's going to get help for the trauma that led to all of these horrible things. That's what we're here to do. If you think something's going to help you, do it. Go do it. And if it doesn't, call us. But I'll tell you, we've done a lot of research on how to get to the heart of the issue, down deep, the thing beneath the thing, and then help you come out of that a richer, more wise, and valuable human being to others around you. And that's what we're praying for, more of you to come our way, because it's exciting when we see the transformation.
Steve, one other thing. At a previous program earlier this week or last week, our good friend here, Jim Burns, made a comment about wanting to give to transformational ministries, and it brought to my mind people that talk to us and will say, well, my husband only wants to give to evangelistic ministries or to missions outreaches or to helping kids with this or that. And they miss the point of this ministry if they think we're not doing that. We have people that not just are introduced to God for the first time, but often it's reintroduced when they think they're out of God's favor and cannot ever reconnect with God. And they get reconnected and life is different. And it's the same with, you know, what's a better mission than a heart change and a life change in a neighborhood that's different, a family that's different? So there's a lot of things that we do that get falsely categorized as not really reaching out, not really the Christian message, because we're doing God's work, and it's a Christian message every step of the way.
I have a couple I worked with that the husband went to Every Man's Battle and came to know Jesus there.
Yeah.
And it made the work different because there was a whole new level of warfare going on in him, and he... You know, when it came to disclosure and all of that that we worked on, I mean, it was a big deal for him to come clean and be honest, because he just didn't want to lie anymore, because he was like, I've just become a Christian last year at EMB, and I just don't want to keep lying. And it was awesome how that relationship, he came to faith at a conference when he was really in a dark place.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about generation to generation. It's all through the Old Testament. And sometimes a situation like that, he becomes a Christian, and you know what? It's changing the trajectory of a family for generations to come.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. You know, it's not just sometimes a person making one decision. It's a decision that they make that then changes literally a family for generations.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
So, So the scripture, Lord, keep me from lying to myself, could be, if you pray that prayer, quote that verse, God may reveal to you some things, and if you think we can help you, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if you can help us help others, it is the same number. Thank you, Larry,
all
so
right,
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much. Let's go to Bo, Austin, Texas. Hi, Bo. KBBW is the station. How can we help?
Hello. How are you all today?
Doing all right.
Quick question for you. I'll give you a quick background and ask a question.
Okay.
I got a call from my daughter-in-law. Say, I need your son to leave. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, what do I do, my role in participating in a situation like that? And all they want to do is provide resources and things that they can do that might be able to help them out. But I can give you more background information you need, so.
Yeah, like
I did recommend to them.
What did your daughter-in-law say happened? Did you ask her why? What happened? What's going on?
Yes.
What did she say?
When I talked to her, when I finally got everybody calmed down, I talked to her. I said, okay, now explain to her what's going on. She said that she had been sexually violated early in her life. And so now there's a court case going on, so all that stuff has resurfaced, and she's been dealing with the anxiety and the depression and all that stuff that's associated with that, right? And at the same time, you know, they have their own business, and my son is trying to say, you need to help out, you need to get over this. This is what she's telling me. I haven't talked to my son yet because my son's going to go on a business trip, so I didn't want to, I'll wait till he get off his business trip and talk to him. But I'm trying not to be, I'm not a counselor, so I'm not trying to be a counselor. I just want to put them into a place where they need to go. But anyway, she said the primary reason the very thing that's been going on, she's been in this, I guess, say in this dark place because of the sexual, being sexual violated when she was younger.
Yeah.
And it surfaced again as the court case is coming up.
Yeah. So, okay.
And
I'm going to tell you what I think you ought to say to your son, and then we're going to hear from them. You ready?
Uh-huh.
I think you ought to ask him if he likes the music of Justin Bieber. That's where I'd start. Whether he likes it or not, ask, do you know what's going on with Justin Bieber? Bieber, half of his face is paralyzed, and he can't sing. Now, what if his wife was saying, Justin, you got to get over this thing. You're paralyzed. You sing for a living. You got to help. Come on, buddy. Get up on the stage and get over it.
Gotcha.
Be kind of tough.
Gotcha.
Well, paralysis sets in many different forms. And this trauma has paralyzed his wife. And he needs to ask himself, what would I do if her arms and legs were paralyzed? Would I still be saying, you've got to get up and get in there and help and work? No. That's when your son would want to show the greatest amount of compassion. The way to heal her out of her paralysis is for her to get help for the trauma and him to become the most compassionate human being she's ever met. Proving to her that not all men violate women. That's what I'd be saying to my son. All right, when we come back, I'm going to hear from both Jim and Sherry what they would say to your son. It might be totally different. They do like to take a different perspective than I. They're kind of argumentative, and they kind of resist. So we'll hear what they come up with. But it's always good. Whatever they come up with, it's always good. Hey, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. And we want to help you. Oh, people are right there on the phones. They're ready for it right now.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Bo, and his daughter-in-law says, hey, tell your husband I can't handle it right now. He needs to leave. Jim, let's start with you. What are your thoughts? What's a good message Bo could give his son or go back to the daughter-in-law?
Yeah. Bo, I appreciate that she actually came to you, but I think what happens is your job is not to tell your son to leave. Your job is to say, hey, I've got something better. Not only am I going to talk to my son about, you know, understanding your situation. But I'm going to help you get help. Because again, you know, the Bible says where there's no counsel, the people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Uh-huh. And because she's going through such pain herself, you know, she needs counsel, and then they probably need some counsel together, because it's really hard to live with someone who's depressed and who's been sexually violated like she was. It's just hard. So they need the uh-huh. tools, and I don't uh-huh. think they have the tools. So instead of, you know, making the easy way, the grass is greener, you know, get out of it, the thing you can do is say, you know what, I love you so much, I'm going to help you get some help. And so then give them the options of, you know, maybe you help with the first counseling session, or in terms of, you know, help, or you find the help. You give them the number here at New Life. But again, you know, don't take these. It's not your job to tell your son to leave. It's a great privilege to come alongside them to help. But she needs help, not her husband to leave.
It's interesting, yeah. Bo. I think, you know, your son's in a category with a lot of guys that just want to help something go away. They want to fix it. I have a chapter in my book called mm-hmm. How He Can Help Her Heal. And basically, I give the difference between a medic, like a medic in the military, a field medic, or a mechanic. Mm-hmm. The mechanic basically comes in like a plumber, bends over, and is looking to find the leak in the drain. Like, they're trying to fix it. Fix it is, you need to get over this. Those kind of statements are fix-it statements. He's being a mechanic. Versus the medic,
gotcha.
Who's able to see that she's been blown up. She's been sexually violated, raped. I know when I'm doing work, Bo, with couples, and I have a mm-hmm. woman like your daughter-in-law that I'm doing some deep trauma, EMDR around that, the eye movement desensitization mm-hmm. reprocessing, you know what I ask? I ask that they not have sex while I'm doing the deep work with her about that trauma.
Right.
I actually take that mm-hmm. off the table, because if she's doing work with me about that perpetration and they're having sex, she might have a flashback. It's just going to make it messy. So we just take that off the table for a period of time so that she can do her deep healing. And the husbands a lot of time are like, what, whoa. But they just don't know mm-hmm. that there is a deep work that needs to happen, and that she can become better. She can be stronger. But when anybody tries to fix us, what do we say? Get away from me. You know, instead of him being a medic and realizing that she was blown up in a foxhole. And what do pastors do? He wants to be in the ministry. Guess what God is doing right now in your son's life? Your precious son uh-huh. is getting an opportunity to learn what ministers, pastors, clergy do. Good ones don't try to fix people. They really walk alongside them. As they heal, they encourage them, they inspire them. And that's, God's got a living, he's using his bride to give him a training ground here mm-hmm. for the ministry. Does that make sense?
Right. And I understand, I understand a medic and a mechanic. I'm a retired Army guy, so I understand that
nice.
Particular scenario.
Nice, yeah.
All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you The Soul of a Hero, which talks about these very things. Dave Stoop and I wrote it, but last book we wrote together. You know, essentially we're saying to everyone, you can either be pathetic or you can be a medic. And we think that God has called us men to be medics, not pathetic. Who wants that? Come on, let's inspire some people. Well, I'm going to go to Mark. Really, Mark, I have no time, but I got to get your call in. San Jose, California. How could we help you in 30 seconds or less? Hi, Mark.
Oh, 30 seconds or less. Oh, gosh, there's not enough time. Me and my wife are apart. She's healing emotionally from a lot of trauma that's triggered PTSD. I've had emotional neediness that exacerbated the problem with her. I basically, aside from just needing every Christian across the country to pray for us, I just, you know, I want any other insight you guys might have. You know, I'm doing the work to stop ruminating too much. You know, I'm according to the Yurkovich material, I'm a vacillator, and rumination's really bad. And
So and, this is what
also,
I...
So here we go.
This is what I would suggest for you, Mark. If we had a couple minutes, I would actually have you walk back your history and tell us when you were abandoned, either in the real, in the flesh, or emotionally abandoned. Because that, at the core of a vacillator, leaves us feeling unseen, unknown, unnoticed, unloved. And so your wife needing space is a trigger, taking space. It will set both of you off. And I would encourage you, Mark, to get into your own work to heal that abandonment wound, which, wow, you never thought this situation in her life would actually inspire you to do some deeper work yourself. But you can go get that. It doesn't have to keep you where you're at.
I'd say therapist and men's Bible study instantly for you, because the men need to be providing some things that she can't. Jim, you have a thought?
Simply that it's a gift. Sometimes separation is a gift, because you can work on your own stuff and she can work on her stuff and do the work and look at that as a gift, and then both kind of get healed and you come back together and work through the process together.
And many times a lip guard is good, because you're going to have to bite your lip so much to just endure certain things, but you can do it. You can get through it. And, you know, as we say, you got this if God's got you. If God doesn't have you, you may not have it. But let God have you. And the way you let God have you is surrender and get the kind of help that you need. And if we can help you, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Yes, I just want to say, hey, Mark, as a vacillator, self-reporting vacillator, if you didn't feel like we gave you what you needed, will you do me a big favor and just call back? There's more here, right? I just want you to know you can call back. We'll hear you. We just don't want to replicate what you've grown up with, right?
That's right. Well, many times we feel overwhelmed. We feel like the assignment's too big. We just need a little bit of encouragement. And Ephesians 3:20 has always been an encouragement to me, and it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Be sure you're allowing his power to be at work within you, and you will experience things you couldn't even think up to ask God for. Boy, that's an encouragement. Just over the hill, around the bend, just down the road, God has something for you that's special. And you may think you've gone too far, done too much. God is rich in mercy, rich in forgiveness and grace. That's the God that I want you to be connected to. Many times we hear people say this phrase, God as I understood him. I got to tell you, I understood God a lot differently than I understand him today. The God I understood cut your leg off if you did something bad. The God I understand today is, no matter how bad you've done something, God wants to help you get up and walk with you and strengthen you and empower you. I hope that's helpful to you. I hope something that we've said might inspire you to do the most difficult thing people do when they need help, and that's call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you to my friend Dr. Jim Burns. Oh my goodness, August 13th, we're together doing this seminar on parents, adult children. And thank you, Dr. Sherry Kelly. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.